Lord, that you'd bless now our time together in the Word, and Father, that you would cause us, Lord, to be as it were like soil, Lord, this morning, that you could break up the fallow ground, that you could turn over, Lord, any sense of complacency or anything that we might be experiencing, and Father, that we might be renewed by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would cause this message that is challenging, that is prophetic regarding the days in which we live and an update and all that stuff. But Lord, as it comes together, may it be challenging to us, and may it be, as it were, a trumpet, a clarion in warning to us as believers, to us as a church. So, Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Listen, this morning I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as I mentioned last week, we are going to be going through a series of teachings right now in light of what's taking place in the Middle East. And we will be updating you from weekend to weekend together. And we will also, though, be taking you through, I trust, a Bible study and giving you understanding and knowledge concerning end time prophecy. And while you're turning there, church, I want to draw something to your attention that our media department has put together, and I'm grateful that they have done this. First of all, on July 30th, we gave a very important update prophetically. If you've missed this, you need to get it after service. You can obtain it. It's called the Prophecy Update, Sunday, July 30th. By the way, I've been told that this has been now the record setter of tapes going out since the history of the church. Over 1,000 of these have gone out since July 30th. And you need to get your hands on this. We've got people getting these and downloading these from around the world right now. And you can get it to add to your prophetic teaching library. Then the following week, and we've gotten permission from Dr. David Hawking to make this available out of the Israel Bible Prophecy Conference, was last week's message. Now, you were here last week at first service, but I got to tell you that second service was the service I intended to deliver. You guys were abused last Sunday at first service. So this one is available today. What is Mystery Babylon? And we look into that in greater detail than what you experienced last week at first service. That is part of the prophecy series. And then today we are looking at the Middle East crisis and what Christians need to know. This is a very important study this morning. And you can either get these individually, or you can wait until the series is complete and we'll have a packet of information or teachings made available. So this is a very important time together. And church, one thing I wanted to point out in looking at and using 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, before we read it, it's amazing what has happened since last week in our last time together in the world. In fact, listen to this. I wrote this down when I heard it. It was, I thought, pretty profound. And that is in the words of Fox News' Shepard Smith. This is what he said this week. He said, and I quote, "It has been more news this week, big news this week to report on. And in one week, there's been such an announcement of news that he has seen more in his life." He says, and it's not even Friday yet. He gave this announcement like on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And he was announcing that there's been more news and big news than what he could remember in his life. And we have some images that are up on the screen right now that are very, very telling, because you've seen news this week of the Egyptians that are somewhere wandering around. By the way, you know, we're looking for them. So a couple have been arrested, but a few of them, or most of them, are at large, that are known to be suspect. These guys right here, they are running loose right now in America among, by the way, hundreds of others. But the news of those guys being lost came early in the week last week. And then, of course, you saw the news about the potential bombings. And boy, are we getting a lot of information about that. Terror in the skies, special edition, bottle bombs, suicide attack days away. And I think we have a few more slides about that showing you things. Los Angeles Times, terror attacks were very near. British arrest 24 in alleged plot to bomb as many as 10 U.S. jets. And that network of terrorism is expanding as we speak right now. Homeland Security Advisory System, severe, as the severe risk terrorist attacks are present in America. There is a heightened alarm and alert right now, and I'm trusting, please, I hope all of you are keenly aware of the news that is going on internationally and in our own America right now. There is important things taking place. This week has been a week of news since you and I last met that we have never seen before. And it's not just news about airplanes or news about terrorists. You guys, it's around the world news. There are ones that are preeminent. But do you remember this time last week we were talking about the war in Israel? Now it's not only the war in Israel, but it's also the jihadist attack against Israeli and American and British interests around the world. And it's escalating. And it's going to escalate if you understand what your enemy has in store for you. It will not stop. It's not going to go away. It may ebb and flow, though some doubt that, but it will continue. For a lot of reasons, we believe that this will escalate into global and national crises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, I want you to have this by way of background. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul the Apostle said, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin," that is a prepared virgin to Christ. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And I want to challenge you this morning before we get into our study regarding the simplicity of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. That is your foundation, believer. And this morning I want to jar you, if that's possible, into really appreciating what the gospel is and holding on to it like never before. And you're going to hear the reasons why this morning, why I think you are living in days that you have never experienced before, and why these days, I believe, are ordained by God, and what it might translate for us in the future. Not only the simplicity of Christ, but the clarity of the Scriptures. More needed than ever before. Look with me now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For what we read now could happen at any time. Paul says, "But I do not want you," verse 13, "brethren, to be ignorant concerning those who have died or fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus." Church, where are those who have died believing in Jesus? Will you point to that location right now? What are you? Are you guys deaf or what? Maybe you don't know. If somebody dies believing in Jesus, do they go to hell or do they go to heaven? Can you point to heaven? It's good. Ushers, get the coffee out now, apparently. They're in heaven. Here the scripture says that Jesus is going to bring them with him. Now watch this. He says, "Even so, God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." Paul is saying, "Thus saith the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord." There's going to be a moment when Jesus comes and there will be those believers alive at that instant. The issue is, some will be living at his coming and some will have died and have gone into heaven before his coming. He goes on to say that they who have died will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, the place you just pointed at a moment ago, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, listen, don't be confused. Their bodies of those who have died in Jesus are in the grave right now. Forest Lawn, Rose Hills, take your pick. Their body's in the ground, but their spirit is with the Lord right now. Are you with me? When the rapture happens, Jesus will come out of heaven, bringing with him your loved ones who have died in Jesus. My mom, my dad, my sister. They will come with Jesus, and there's going to be the shout and the trumpet and the voice. Their bodies will resurrect out of the ground and meet their spirit in the air. That will be freaky. That will happen, and then we who are alive, in a twinkling of an eye, in a millisecond, we will be caught up at that moment to meet them. Look what it says. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Church, listen to this. Get excited, will you, please? Chapter 5, verse 1 is in relation to chapter 4, verse 18. And technically, verses 13 to 18. He's saying concerning the rapture and all that stuff, when that happens, he says, you have no need that I should write to you. He says, because, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Listen, be careful. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a woman, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. The Lord is coming like a thief in the night, but not to you who are Christians. To those who are not paying attention? Yes, but not to you. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. That is in the darkness. Morality, the darkness, not necessarily nighttime, but in the darkness and the evil. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, that is the tribulation period, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are great words. He says, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Church, listen carefully. No man knows the what? The day or the hour of the Lord's return. But always read your Bible carefully. We will not know the day or the hour. But concerning the times and the seasons, Paul, with almost a sarcasm, says, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Why? Because if you're walking with Jesus, you are going to be discerning that we are entering the season, the times in which the Lord could come. When we begin to see certain things on the world's horizon, we need to be responding to one another. Be ready, get ready, be watching, keep a light touch on the earth. It could happen at any time. You say, Jack, people have been living like that for years. Yes, and keep living like that. At some point in time, Christ will come. Isn't that amazing? You say, oh, I don't believe it. Well, you're biblical. I mean, you really are. The Bible says in the last days, people will give up on trusting the Lord regarding this promise, and they won't believe in His return. So you're biblical if you doubt that. But to the rest of you who are watching and ready, we are waiting. And I want to talk about waiting today. I want to talk about things that should lead us to waiting. And at times like this, Christian, when we give an update on the Middle East crisis and the things that are taking place, I hope I communicate this weekend and next weekend. Listen, don't miss next weekend. It is critical. You need to come. Bring somebody too. We are going to be sharing data. We are going to have clips. We are going to have interviews with people out of their own mouths. You will hear what the agenda is in the very near future regarding the Middle East and Israel and America. You're going to hear them in their own words. Be here. But at a time like this, what is a Christian to do? And I want you to know that my mission this morning is very, very difficult because predominantly, and I've quoted to you before the words of Mikhail Gorbachev before the wall came down and the Soviet Empire collapsed. But he was right. Mikhail Gorbachev said that we need to act against America. We need to take advantage of the Americans who desire to not want to know what's going on. That's a strong statement. We are suckers for being attacked in a surprise attack. It happened to us at Pearl Harbor. It happened to us in New York. And thank God for the British this week. Thank you, Jesus, for the British this week who caught these guys who were going to attack the United States next Wednesday on August 16th. Amazing. We are suckers for falling into that trap of being asleep, thinking that it's not going to come near us. And I want to remind you that the last two great attacks against America have been surprise attacks, haven't they? And they've caught us off guard, and we haven't learned a lesson. We haven't learned a thing. We are just complacent as we were on September 10th. And I want to encourage you, church, to be alert and to be on guard. I'm going to give you a lot of information today. Write small, if you would, and we're going to go fast. I want to point some things out to you about why this message this morning is important. And I'm not going to comment on it. I'm just going to give them to you. The first thing that comes to mind is the escalating war in the Middle East. You say, Jack, but they are retreating right now. There's going to be a peace tomorrow. Don't you believe it? There's an escalating war in the Middle East just because Kofi Annan and Condoleezza Rice and whoever draws up some contract doesn't mean there's going to be peace in the Middle East. The rise of the Islamic nations toward becoming a nuclear state or a nuclear religion. I think that's quite terrifying. I heard on Fox News this week that a woman said, she's, by the way, works for CNN. I was surprised by her comment. She was being interviewed, and she said on Fox News, she said, you know what? If the Presbyterian Church was getting their equipment together to build a nuclear device, we'd shut the Presbyterian Church down. But what we see is an Islamic state creating a nuclear religion. And those are the words almost verbatim coming out of Iran. And that is escalating. The brewing of instability, my goodness, of all places, look this last week, the brewing of political and civil instability in Mexico regarding their last election. There are disgruntled people by the millions upset and angry, and there's rumors in Mexico City and beyond of taking over the government because their man didn't win. No regard for the electoral process. Mexico. Can you imagine if Mexico goes off in an anarchy? That's a little close to home, don't you think? Mexico. The nuclear threat of North Korea is constantly pressing against the free world. And then China. The Chinese connection with Iran. The Russian connection with Iran. In connection with trades and arms for oil. And Russia has signed a $1 billion arms and oil deal with Iran. That's going on right now. Vladimir Putin has signed a defense agreement for Iran. Russia, church, are you listening? This is very critical. You may wake up to this someday. Russia has signed a contract to be Iran's defense if they ever go to war. That better wake you up. Because things are getting bizarre in the Middle East. Because don't think for a moment that America will stand back, at least at this moment, if that should happen, without defending Israel. On August 16th, I mentioned a moment ago, on August 16th, next Wednesday, there was to be an attack against the United States, and jumbo jets were to be falling out of the skies. And make no mistake about it, the terrorists that were to blow up the planes specifically were instructed not to blow them up over the Atlantic. Not on all broadcasts, but many broadcasts, you were hearing that these terrorists were going to blow the planes up over the Atlantic. That is not true. They were going to blow the planes up over American cities near the approach to landing. Just 30 minutes out before landing to bring about the most damage. When was that to happen? Next Wednesday, August 16th. They got caught the other day doing the trial run. And of course, it's world news right now. And it's changing everything. The FBI has stated this theory, just a theory, that August 16th was the target date that very well may put United States in a defense mode and a cleanup mode and a shock mode that could leave the Middle East open against any possible plans of what you may be reading about. That is August 22nd. Have you been reading about it? Church, please find out what's the significance of August 22nd in the Iranian and in the Middle East world. On August 22nd, in history, that was the day that Muhammad supposedly got on that weird kind of strange thing, horse thing, and flew up into heaven on that horse and ascended. That was August 22nd in the Muslim calendar and the Muslim mind. Secondly, Saladin, their great warrior, the greatest of all warriors. You know what else happened on August 22nd in Muslim history, in Islamic history? That is when Saladin invaded and conquered Jerusalem and took possession of it. The president of Iran said to the UN and the United States, regarding our nuclear ambitions, the world will hear from us on August 22nd. Now, we believe that he's going to just make a statement. Yes or no, we'll comply or not. Some people in the world, including Israel, they're not taking that statement lightly. The FBI is speculating that it's possible that the United States was going to be hit so hard on August 16th, next Wednesday, by these planes falling out of the sky over U.S. cities and detonation of thousands and thousands of localized bombs by cell phone technology. Have you been following that? You guys, if you know what I'm talking about, you got to respond, because I'm assuming that you guys are in the know. They are finding terrorists all across America this week. Some of them up to 1,000 cell phones in their vans, with instructions on how to strap them to bombs, to place them in places, to call them, to detonate them. Thousands of them across America. FBI believes that was going to happen on August 16th. While there's explosions taking place in stores and restaurants and churches and wherever, planes were going to be falling out of the sky. England told us that what was planned would have made September 11th look like practice. You say, Jack, you're scaring me. Just read your papers. Just read the news. Church, Christians should be more educated in these areas than anybody else on the planet. Amen. These are serious things. Okay, here we go. Number one, jot this down. What Christians need to know is that God, that the God of the Bible, is on his throne. Can you start right there? Mark it down. Is that the God of the Bible, your God, your Lord and Savior of the Bible, is on his throne. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. And so, think of this. Number one, because that's true, we see from God's perspective, church. Don't be alarmed. God is on his throne. That's what a Christian needs to know at a time like this. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, why do the nations rage and the nations plot vain things? The kings of the earth have set themselves and their rulers to take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast them away from us, they say. He who sits in the heavens, though, shall laugh, for the Lord will hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. We need to realize, my friend, that at times like this, Christian, be encouraged. Our God is on the throne. What men perpetrate and plan, God is watching over it. I personally believe that it's not necessarily the brilliance of M5 and M6 in England that caught these guys, though they're working very hard. And their law enforcement is much more stronger than ours. They're much more desperate to find the bad guys than we are. England is. But I think God exposed it. I think the Lord's been hearing our prayers. And it's God who has kept this nation from being attacked again. There's no explanation for it. Our God, who reigns from heaven, is watching over. And we need to keep praying like never before. Christian, don't lose heart. When there's a suicide bomber in Detroit or in Seattle, or when there's a homicidal bomber in Los Angeles or on Rodeo Drive, you know what? Listen, know that your God's on the throne. Don't be afraid. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The Bible says perfect love casts out what? all fear. When you realize that God loves you, you don't have to be afraid. And I don't want, you guys, you don't want to know me. I mean, here you know me like this. Okay? But this is my logic. So you don't want to know me. You don't want to hang out with me. But if someone's going to blow themselves up, can you let me know who you are first so I can run over to you and give you a hug? Because you know what? Don't cripple me. Don't wound me. You come and give me a hug. If you're planning some evil against this church, listen, forget these people. Come and give me a hug and pull your trigger. Because listen, you'll go to your place and I'll go to mine. Because you know what? I may be afraid of pain. Don't wound me. Just send me straight into the presence of my Jesus. Don't be afraid. And the Lord, as we shall see, has warned us about times like this. We must see from God's perspective. Another thing, because it's true, we know what's coming up. Our God, who sits on the throne, wrote the Bible. No other group of people on all of the world has a Bible like you have a Bible. A Bible that speaks and tells about the future. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Isn't that great? And the Bible speaks about evil days and the days in which we live. Jesus said in John 16:4, but these things I have told you in advance that when they come to pass, you might remember that I have told you. Isn't that great? Our God knows the future. The scriptures are filled with exhortations to know the times and the seasons. Paul said, you will have no need that I should write to you concerning the rapture. You'll have no need because you will be able to discern the times and the seasons. Church, this is not another glitch of global events. This is a time like none other in all of the world, in all of history. I've been a Christian almost 30 years, and I have never seen a time like this on a global scale. Anarchy about ready to break forth, the Islamic threat around the world, and all of the stuff that's going on, suicidal bombings, war, Israel, its enemies. We could take months in this church and point to chapter and verse of scriptures to show you things that you could study regarding these issues. To be alert and to be on guard is what we need to be doing, to be watching. And it's interesting to note that what we're looking at today are age-old enemies that God has warned about in Scripture. Thirdly, under this point, we can rejoice and trust that the God who sits upon the throne, our Lord God, is in control, and that we can understand who we are in Jesus Christ. This is something you need to take home and memorize. And that is this, that in Jesus Christ, you belong to Christ, you're owned by Him, you are His property. And because that's true, you and I need to live for Him like never before. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Colossians 3, verse 3. The Bible says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, will appear, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Isn't that great? Man, when He comes, it's going to be a glorious moment. But listen to that. The Bible says that your life is hidden in Christ. Years ago, I did a study and I happened to bring out some Matryoshka dolls. You know those little stacking dolls we call them in the West? They got one image in front of it and you break them down until there's just a little tiny guy left. Think of that. You are in Christ. Your life is placed inside and then Christ is placed over you. And your life is hidden in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. We need to understand and be reminding ourselves who we are in Christ. Very important at a time like this. When things begin to come apart at the seams, when we turn on the news some morning and there's another disaster taking place, it may not be 3,000 miles from home as it was on September 11th. What will you do? I pray that you'll encourage yourself in the Lord. Number two, what Christians need to know is that we have a real physical enemy. I want to stress the word physical. Church, you and I have a real physical enemy whose doctrine is to kill you and the Jewish people. That is written in their doctrine. It is written in their books. And if you believe it or not, does not faze them at all. Did you hear what I just said? If you believe it or not, it means nothing to them.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
That's exactly what they want you to think. But the doctrine is to kill all Jews and Christians so that this world can be presented to Allah. This is Islamic teaching. And in time, we will show you these scriptures. Keep this in mind. What Christians need to know at an hour like this is that we have a real physical enemy. The reason why I say physical is because spiritually, there's no battle there. Satan has been judged at the cross. And what's going on in the world around us is the advent of evil. And so I want to stress physical rather than spiritual, because the Lord, He alone is God. And so, real physical enemy, and we'll look at it these three ways. Number one, that they want you converted to Islam. This is the goal. If America will just convert to Islam, supposedly all these terrorist attacks will go away. That's what we're being told by Islamic leaders. That's what you can read from the sermons coming out of Saudi Arabia. By the way, you can read them at www.memri.com. Word for word, coming out of Saudi Arabia. You can read it for yourself. They want us converted or we die. In Matthew 24:11, the Bible says, Jesus said, "And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many people." The word in Greek is "not a few." And that's happening. The Bible says anyone or anything, by the way, that teaches or contradicts Scripture is not of God. In fact, 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are God or not. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and even now is already in the world." That's amazing. Listen, another consideration is that they seek to change government. Yours, mine, for one. It is the Islamic agenda. It is Islam's duty to get a theocratic reign over the earth. This is the teaching. This is the doctrine. That's why democracy is so dangerous to the Islamic nations in the world. Why? Because democracy allows freedom among all people. If you have freedom, then you could become a Christian if you have freedom. You could think. You could choose. There is a march against democracy. I don't know how we will fare in Afghanistan or Iraq. Only God knows that. But we know this. To a people who for millennia have only known despotic rulers and kings, democracy is a radical thought. Democracy, church, only works when there's civility and where the gospel's present. Did you know that? It only works. Go look at your history. You say, "Jack, that's a radical thing to say." If you don't like it or if you're challenged by it, go study that comment that I just said. Where does democracy work? It first has to have the foundation of a biblical mindset. That's how democracy works. To love and respect others and to give them the fair shake of everything, even if we are diametrically opposite to one another in color, in status, in finances, and in religion. Christianity allows that. If you want to be the church of the first hug a whale, kiss a tree, you know, something, Christianity says, you do whatever you want to do. That's your responsibility. You go do it. Did you know that you can't have that freedom in Islam? Can't have it. You must Islam. The word Islam is submit. Interesting. Yes, I'm very aware that I could get shot for teaching this message. Isn't that interesting? To change government. This week, again, here he goes, Hugo Chavez, president of Venezuela, said, that the world will have no peace and no rest until Israel, the United States, and Great Britain is annihilated. That's the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. Amazing. Thirdly, they mean to kill those who believe differently. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus wrote, that's in the Bible. It could apply to us in the next year or 5 years or 10 years. Jesus said in Matthew 24:8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and they shall hate you, or you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they will betray one another, and they shall hate one another." Jesus said that concerning the end days. Number three in our study, what Christians need to know is that your prayer life will be your most powerful source of strength. Your prayer life. Now listen, church, I gained to win no friends here this morning, I'm sure, with what I'm about to say. But let me tell you something right now. You have no idea what is in my heart today. I would be fine today. I would have been better off today if I could have interviewed every one of you coming into the church this morning to see if you're visiting or what you think or what you feel, because I would much rather have this sermon right now, this conversation, take place over a cup of coffee at a table with no lights, no microphones, no recordings, and no strangers. For this one reason. I want you to hear the truth, even if it cost me my life. I want you to hear the truth, even if it makes you upset. I want you to hear the truth, even if it makes us uncomfortable. Because you know what? As Christians, when I read my Bible, it's exactly what I need. And here's the truth. Listen to this. Your prayer life will be your power source in these last days. And that right there, you're going to be convicted because you and I are not praying enough. I say now's the time to start praying like never before. I say now it's time to turn off the stupid TV and unplug your face from an iPod or whatever. Get on your knees and pray. Pray now before bombs are going off. Pray now before something happens in one of our schools. I'm telling you now. The things that are being planned against your neighborhood. When I am driving in my car and I hear a man call in to a talk show and say that he's here from Pakistan, living here, and he said, "I want to say that every American needs to wake up, that Israel must be destroyed." And the man on the radio host, who you know, very famous guy, said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I told you, Pakistan." "Where do you live?" "I live in America." He says, "No, where do you live?" And he said, "I live in Chino Hills, California." Almost crashed! Whoever that man is, by the way, his name is Saeed. I pray for him right now. Lord, save Saeed and show him the truth. But my friend, if God doesn't move, if he doesn't respond to our cries, it will be the first time God doesn't move. See, God wants to move, but no one's crying out to him. He wants to answer prayer. Are we praying? No, we're not praying. It hasn't gotten bad enough yet. We have prayer meetings all around this church, scarcely attended. It'll all change in the next event. And then in about 2 weeks, everyone goes back to normal. It appears if I were God, I would just send cataclysmic events every day to keep people praying. Aren't you glad I'm not the Lord? Listen, Christian, you've developed an ear for God when you pray. When you pray, you've developed an ear for the Lord. When you pray, God speaks. That's why I always tell you, when you go to prayer, take a notebook and a pencil and pray. And God will begin to speak. You've developed an ear for the Lord when He speaks because you're reading your Bible every day through the Bible. We read the Bible together in our daily reading. That's why your prayer life is increasing. That's why your ability to hear direction from the Lord is getting better for all of us. That's absolutely essential. Also, Christian, by now you have learned to claim, or to calm, I should say, yourself. To calm yourself in the Lord by taking hold of those promises that you've been reading. This is what you and I need when all the things seem to be coming apart and the sky seems to be falling. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to the glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering with joy. Also, Christian, by now, you are to have determined to stand. You've made the determination as a Christian to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys, what we stand for, it's awesome, and I hope this is true for every one of us, but what we stand for is worth dying for. And I hope you have that which is worth dying for. Number four, what Christians need to know is that your Bible knowledge will be your greatest asset. Know the Bible, Christian, in days like these like never before. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study to know the Word of God. You'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You'll know how to use your Bible. Don't sit around at a time like this. Get serious about your faith, Christian. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, to be able to give an answer to every person that asks of you. A reason for the hope that you have. Your Bible knowledge, you'll find three things happening. You will find your faith greater for the moment. When I say for the moment, I mean for that event. When you take in Bible, your faith will increase. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. More Bible, more prayer. Hey, does this sound like a pep talk? I want it to be. I'm sharing with you with what the Lord's sharing with me. Jack, this is what I want you to do. Yes, sir. Our faith will be encouraged and strengthened, and our faith will be enough for the moment. Number two, we will experience hope that transcends the things of this life. Hope. My goodness, we're seeing great pictures of hope coming out of Israel, and as the believers in Jesus Christ are starting to really shine at this critical hour, and people are wondering why, what's different about them. Faith and hope. And then obviously, as we are in the Bible more, you will have His love that keeps you strong unto the end. The love of God. Number five, what Christians need to know is that the world is moving toward a climax of events. Never before in the history that I've known do we have the players lining up like we do today. Jot this down if you would. It's moving towards a global rejection of God all around the world. With all that is happening in the world right now, wouldn't it be amazing that somebody would come on the scene and with God-like powers and calm everything down and bring an answer to the dilemma in the Middle East and bring economic explosion to the world and peace and all of this stuff? And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. When there'll be a global rejection of the God of the Bible, and there will be an acceptance of the Antichrist instead of Christ, the imposter Christ. Jesus said, I've come in my own name. You've rejected me. Another will come in his own name. The word, by the way, in that teaching is authority. Jesus said, I've come in my own name, my Father's authority. You've rejected me. Another will come in his own authority. Him you will receive. He spoke that to the nation of Israel in reference to the Antichrist. I believe that we are in times. Someone called the church this week and asked, Jack, what do you believe about the Antichrist? Do you think he's alive today? I certainly do think he's alive today. I don't know who he is, but I believe he's alive today. I believe that we are living in that time. And if we're allowed 20 more years, 30 more years, 40, 50 more years, I don't know. But I believe that person is alive somewhere on the earth today. But the world is moving towards a global rejection of God. And I mean that biblically. There is a big spiritual awakening, but not toward God. Secondly, it's moving towards a global destabilization. The nations of the world are becoming unstable on a global scale. Afghanistan, obvious. Iraq, that is obvious. By the way, we hope we don't see civil war take place there. That would be horrible. The Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, and it would be horrible. By the way, there's a lot of information leading to the fact that Hezbollah has got its fingers in the events that are taking place in Iraq. The southern regions of Russia are now, many of them, terrorist regions. We mentioned Russia's new friends, Venezuela and Iran. Globally, it's no longer an asset, by the way, to be a friend of the United States. That is not your political advantage anymore. America has seen its days. We've been saying that for a long time. Europe has a lack of direction. They can't even come together in agreement on a constitution. They had one, but it flopped again. South and Central America is moving towards unrest and corruption and terrorism. Keep your eye, church, listen, just keep your eye out for Iran's involvement in South and Central American activities. You'll be shocked. By the way, the CIA has listed 25 nations of the world that pose a direct or indirect threat to democracy, and specifically the United States. 25 nations. You can read that off their website. Luke 21:25, Jesus said, on the earth there will be distress of nations with perplexity. The word in Greek means with no way out. The sea and the waves will be roaring, and men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear because of the expectation of those things that are coming upon the earth. Another thing under this point is that there's a moving towards a greater anti-Semitic action in the earth. The Bible says that as we approach the end time scenario, Israel will be attacked more and more. What's amazing about that is there was not an Israel until May 14, 1948. For 2,000 years, there was no Israel. The Jews were all over the world. But the first time ever in human history has a nation gone back and become its own land again, its own country. But look at world history. And what do you see regarding the anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish Israeli belief system? Isn't it amazing? Even if you are angry with me right now, you disagree with me right now, that doesn't matter. But you have to agree with this. There is no people on the face of the planet that is universally hated and despised more than the Jewish people. And when you ask someone why, they start giving you the stupidest reasons you've ever heard of. And I only wrote down a few. When you look at world history, what do you see? You see Israel being attacked and taken captive and gone into slavery by the Egyptian Empire. Did they survive that, by the way? Yeah, they did, didn't they? Israel was attacked later and then taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. Did they survive the Babylonian Empire? Yes, they did. Israel then later was attacked and taken captive by the Medo-Persian Empire. Did they survive the Medo-Persian Empire? Yep, they did. By the way, did the Egyptians survive? Not that empire. Did the Babylonian Empire survive? No. Where's the Medo-Persian Empire today? Nope, that's gone. Israel was later attacked and taken captive by the Grecian Empire. Do the Greeks rule the world, and do they rule Israel today? No, but is Israel back in the land today? Israel was attacked and then taken under Roman rule. Do the Italians rule the world today? Don't tell them they don't, but do they? No. The Jews in history were singled out, and I'm only pointing out too. The Jews were singled out in history and persecuted by Joseph Stalin by the millions. Did you know that? Obviously, they were singled out and persecuted by Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich. And I'm leaving a great list out. No other people group could ever have experienced that stuff, and nor have they. But again, the president of Iran says that it never happened. That's in print, by the way, you can read it. He said it is a myth that has been generated by the Jew, that the Holocaust ever happened at all. See, you can say that to a nation that is kept in ignorance and have no freedom. But this time is different than all other times. The Jews are now being singled out by a unified Islamic world. and the nation of Israel is being targeted for a nuclear annihilation, first time ever, in the name of Allah. The Iranian president believes that God has called him to annihilate Israel. God, Allah. I'm just stating to you what is being printed in the international press and in their own country. We could go on and on. Number six, what Christians need to know is that your Christian fellowship will be your lifeline. Will be your lifeline. It is true, I would suppose, that smaller churches will fare better in times of persecution and times of attack. We are at a great handicap, I guess. We're a larger church. To combat that, did I not ask you as a church over a year ago, to get involved in home run fellowships because we didn't know how long we would have the freedom to meet publicly? You say, well, we still have the freedom. What are you talking about, Jack? You're out of your mind. Listen, you can say that now, but when there's the first suicide attack on synagogues and churches in America, will you be here next Sunday? No, you'll stay home. I mean, I'll come. I'll be here. If you want to come, come. I'm not going to stop coming. But 99% of the people, they'll stay home. If you stay home, then go to your home run group, your small group. See, I'm not in one. Get in one. Because it will be your lifeline. That's what Christians need to hear. Get into a small group. These are critical days. Be ready now before it comes. Your Christian fellowship? All right, hang on to your seats. Nothing else may have generated some hostilities, but this will. Men, husbands, love your wives. So where did that come from? You know what? As I've been just looking at my own home, thinking about, you know what? I run 95,000 miles an hour. When I take the time to breathe, I thank God for my wife. Now listen, I can say this because she's not here right now. She's not perfect. Who is? She's perfect for me. Husbands, love your wives at times like these and forevermore. It's that kind of stuff that matters. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter the big deal on the wall. It doesn't matter the picture with the Pope. That stuff doesn't matter. Love your wife like never before. If you're doing anything to disrupt that relationship, then break it off. Love your wife. Wives, honor your husband. Oh, Jack. Honor, I'm sure. Okay, ask God to show you something to honor regarding your husband. At least this, God has given him to be your husband. If you're gonna dilly-dally around with all this stupid argument with self about, well, you know, we didn't know if we loved each other when we really met. And I don't know. I don't think he said his vows just right 10 years ago. Maybe there was a little loophole there. You know what? You are playing games with eternity, my friend. You are messing up. Obey God and honor your husband. And then listen. Mom or dad, or mom and dad, provide for your family. Bless them. With all of your life, provide for them. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, if anyone refuses to provide for his own house, or for his own, and especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and has become worse than a non-believer. Provide for your home. It doesn't mean money. It means create peace and protection, love, spiritual leadership, caring, concern, a home. And protect them and defend them against evil, against danger, against those who would harm them. Mom, dad, protect your family against the evils of this world and of this life. Protect your home. Protect your children. Number seven, what Christians need to know is that the Bible has the answers, so read the following. Here's your homework. Get out your pen. Everybody get ready. This is your homework until next Sunday. This is going to be a quick one. Number seven, read Ezekiel chapter 36 37, 38, and 39. A lot of people in the world right now believe we're heading towards Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39. I personally believe that Ezekiel 36 to 39 could happen before the rapture ever takes place. It's possible. It will certainly happen before or after. Read Isaiah chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Your homework between now and next week, read Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14. That's your homework. And finally, read 1 Thessalonians chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's the book. 1 Thessalonians. Read the book. Read those. That's your homework. You can read it today and know it. You can read it this weekend. You'll be blessed if you do. You'll have a ton of questions. Ask God to answer them for you, and He will. Number 8, what Christians need to know is that God is waiting to hear from us. In the area of praying, God, bring America revival. You know, when I used to say this, I haven't said it in years. You guys used to get a kick out of it in context. But hope is not completely lost yet, you guys. I know America is slipping away and we're losing the edge in all kinds of areas. But you know what? If God's people pray, God will hear from heaven and He'll heal our land. Ask God, join with us in prayer. God, send revival to America. Revival can trump anything. Lord, send revival. And remember, this is what I used to say. It's not over until the fat angel sings. Remember that? Oh, there's no hope. We're lost. No. The angel hasn't sung yet. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's cry. Let's look to Him. Let's call out to Him. It's not over yet. God, send revival. Well, He's waiting to hear from us. And He has been. Listen, He has been waiting to hear from you. I encourage you, church, to pray like never before. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know of. Isn't that great? God is saying, come on, I want to blow your mind. That's the California version of that verse. God is wanting to hear from us. He's also desiring to answer your cry for help. God wants to answer your prayer. You need to hear this. Christian, God wants to answer you. I know we pray, we think, oh, I'll pray, but He's not going to answer me. Well, if you pray like that, you're right, He's not going to answer you because you're not trusting in Him. Call out to Him. He's desiring to answer. He's waiting to hear from you. He's desiring to answer you when you call. And listen, He will never disappoint you. When you call out to Him, never. I have to tell you before, and if you forget everything else, I want to make this public. My Lord God Almighty has never disappointed me when I've cried out to Him. Never, not once. Never has He failed me. Not once. Never. He never will. Number 9, what Christians need to know is that it's time to prepare for these coming days. It's time to prepare for the coming days. We must never place anything before the imminent return of Jesus Christ in the rapture. Never. That could happen today. But we must be ready. Keith Green, who's now with Jesus, used to say, pray for the pre-tribulation rapture, but prepare for post-tribulation action. That's pretty interesting because you know what? I believe Jesus could come back any moment right now. But look, I could be persecuted for Jesus today. And that's true. So listen. Just be wise that at this current rate of global destabilization and the events that we're seeing, you and I as a Christian need to be very careful. And look at the screen right there. I want you to look at that for just a moment. Because you know what? Before you get up in an airplane, you got to go through a checklist. Can you imagine going through the checklist on that baby right there? The co-pilot or the engineer calls it out and they go, they flaps, fuel, check, check. They check everything. There is the, before they fire up that jet, they go through a checklist. Then there's a pre-taxi checklist. Okay? Then there's when they pull into position and hold, checklist. And then there's a checklist before they roll down the runway. Why? They don't want to make a mistake. Aren't you glad about that the next time you get on the plane? I don't want that pilot up there reading, you know, People magazine. Get that thing out of there. I want you to go through your checklist. Checklist saves lives. And there's an in-flight checklist. And then before you descend to land, there's a series of checklists, making sure everything's right. And because they're talking about physical life, it's important to them. And I'm glad for that. Is it not more important to have a spiritual checklist like never before? We're talking about eternity here. Are you ready? I'm going to give these to you. Write them down. This is your checklist. This is our checklist. And here it comes. Number one, my faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Is that true? Check. Make sure it's right. If it's right, if your faith in Jesus Christ only, then you can mark check. Number two, all known sin removed from my life. Check. If you're messing around with internet pornography or bubbles at the office or Rocky at the health club, break it off. What are you doing? Make sure all known sin is separated from your life. Run from it. Stop goofing around with it. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Then you can say, check. My heart is set on things above. You should be able to say, check. Taking in Bible more and more Bible. Check. Sharing my faith in Jesus with other people. Check. Helping my church reach the world for God. Check. Praying for those who I know. Check. You can jot that off your list. Serving others in Jesus' name. Check that off. Rehearsing my worship to God. We should be doing that a lot. We're going to be doing that soon. In heaven forever. So get really good at it. Check. Waiting to meet Jesus here, there, or in the air. You like that? Remember that old sticker? Helping. Oh, we're behind. Waiting to meet Jesus here, there, or in the air. You can say, check to those things. And you should be able to do that. And Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Notice they're virgins. And notice what they have in common. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. But the wise took in their vessels and their lamps, extra oil. But while the bridegroom was delayed, while he waited, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. And Jesus goes on to say, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest we do not have enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. But while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Jesus said, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. What's the point? Be ready. Number 10, we're in with this point. What Christians need to know is that it's time to be ready like never before. Christian, in my life, I've said earlier, I've never seen days like these. I have found this last couple of weeks excited to see my Bible coming alive. And at the same time, I've made doubly sure as I look to my kids, and I've asked them again this week. They probably don't like to be asked this. But you're looking at one of those parents. You know when somebody said, your kid threw a rock through my window. I'm the kind of parent that said, what did you throw the rock through the window for? I've never been one of those parents that said, not my kid. Okay, that's insanity. As though your kid's beyond that. I look at my kids and I say, and I told Ashley yesterday, you just better make sure. And Rebecca, you better make sure you're walking with Jesus and you checked all your bases with the Lord. Because this has nothing to do with me. Are you right with God? And I want to say this to you, this church. Christian, I've never seen days like these. And so I want to challenge you. Are you right with the Lord? Things are happening on the global scale like we've never seen before. And they will intensify. And Christians, please get your life in order before the Lord if it's not. Next Sunday, we are going to be going through a series of teachings on August 20th that will startle you. Let me say, I hope it doesn't startle you. I want you to be so ready to meet the Lord. And look, if Jesus doesn't come back in 6 months or 60 years, are we not told in Scripture to be ready to meet the Lord anyway? Have we fallen asleep and become so apathetic that we think like this? Well, you know, when it gets really gnarly and when I see the tanks rolling down Peyton Drive or Chino Hills Parkway, then I'll get ready. Are we that Hollywoodized? Remember this, the Bible teaches something is going to happen and it's going to catch people off guard. But not those who are walking in the light. Man, I want to walk in the light. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, I ask you. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, just before you, I intercede on behalf of not only myself, but my home, my wife and my children. But Father, for this church, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would galvanize us to be ready. To be ready in every area, to answer those who ask of us, to go and tell those who need hope, to have our ears and eyes wide open to the news and the events around us, and Bible wide open. Discerning, testing, looking to see whether these things be so. Father, I pray that we've had this amazing week of news this week. Who knows what will become this week? Maybe nothing at all. Maybe something so glorious, something so wonderful, that there'll be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. I pray that's what happens this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, bizarre, isn't it?